glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Friday, the 24th of June. Welcome to Mark and Friends at 7:32. I'm Tim, in for Mark today. We are part of the live studio audience broadcast. Pastor Jason Schiffo is here, and I want to start out by reading this. God's love is a gift. God's love is a life-giving, energizing force. This love was demonstrated in Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, verse 9 says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." When we receive God's love, we are enabled through that love to love others. And I start with that because today the topic is God is love. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, it's a great topic because years ago, when I first came to our church, when you walked in the front door of our church, above the door, they had love God and love people. And we had a missionary, I call him an elder statesman because he had been a missionary for 40 years. And he was visiting one Sunday morning not too long after I had come to the church, and he pulled me aside and he said, "I love that." And I said, "I do too." And he goes, "But tell me what love means." He said, "Because if I was to bring a dozen people through the door, there'd be a dozen different interpretations of what that means to love God and to love people." Now, I really appreciate that you started us off with that really deep reading, but now I'm going to bring us right up to the surface because I'm a child of the 80s. And in the 80s, there was a song sung by Huey Lewis in the news, and it was called "The Power of Love." And Huey Lewis says, "It doesn't take money, it don't take fame, it don't take no credit card to ride this train." And he was talking about the power of love. And even more so, around that same time, Tina Turner released a song, and she asked a great question in that song, didn't she? She said,
What's love got to do with it?
Yeah. How many of you, as I just said that, you go, uh-oh, now it's stuck in my head.
Thanks very much for that.
Yeah. But listen, though if we looked at the content of Tina Turner's song, we might not feel like the content of the song is theological, you know, that it would be for the church. But gosh, isn't that question for the church? What's love got to do with it? So I'd love to hear your thoughts. When we talk about the church, when we talk about being followers of Jesus, when we talk about fulfilling Jesus' mission for us as the church in the world, living the way of Jesus, what's love got to do with it?
I think of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." He loves. God is love.
And it's so interesting in that passage because that passage, we often talk about the love, but we don't talk about the so. And the so is the extent in which God was willing to love. What I really love is I recently switched Bibles. I normally have been, in all of my years, an ESV man, English Standard Version. But I switched to the CSB. And it's funny that you brought this up, Gail, because the reason I switched to the CSB was the way that they translated John 3:16. They said, "For God loved the world in this way." Because what they did is they said that this is the way that God loves. And you too ought to, in other parts of Scripture we see, love the way that God loves. The extent that God loves, the way that God is willing to love. So God so loved the world. Anybody else, what has love got to do with it?
I always thought about love as and compared to ourselves. Do I give love? Do I take love? As God says, love is something that you give. To have love, you give your love, and that's giving of yourself, and that's love.
Yeah.
The world always says, I want love, give me. Yeah. But for God, love is giving of yourself.
Anybody else?
I also think that it's give and take, in that God gives us his love first, which is why we should love him, because he gave us love.
Yeah, so what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says that we can love, why?
Because God loves us.
Yeah, right. And because he first loved us. So he came with this example of what love is. I mean, think about that great passage in Romans chapter 5. Who knows what it is? God demonstrates his love like this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So why would the Bible say God demonstrates his love? He needed to show us something, right? Because I think left to our own devices, we want to turn love into the stuff of syrupy kind of movies. You know, that kind of emotional love that's like, oh, the pitter-pattering of my heart. But anybody who's been married for any amount of time or who's been in loving relationships for any amount of time knows that the pitter-patter usually doesn't last. You know, that you feel in the initial things. And love becomes all of a sudden this kind of what? Deep and abiding thing. This kind of thing that has more to it than simply a dozen roses and a box of candy. Now love becomes this thing that I would give my life for you. And when we begin to move in that direction of love, I think we begin to move towards what God demonstrated, right? Mm-hmm. Because what I've heard a lot here is I've heard this idea of giving. And love in the Bible centers around what? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Now I think we're cooking with fire, because in this world, and we talked about this before we started this radio program. In this world, the messaging that we get is all about who matters most.
Me.
Yeah, me, myself, and I. Those are, yeah. Somebody said once, they said, who's the three most important people in the room? Me, myself, and I.
Amen.
And so not only is the messaging out in the world, but also in our hearts, that we have to continually push back, is that it's not about me. That the work of the church is about continually sacrificing for the sake of others, and in God's demonstration, not sacrificing for those who deserve it. Not sacrificing for those who have worked well to obtain it. You know, the Bible says there's nothing that we could do to get what God has given to us. That there's no way that we could have done it. God freely gave that, and he gave it to while we were still enemies. So, I mean, just imagine it. Just think about that in your mind for a minute. Let that kind of marinate. What does it look like to sacrifice yourself for the sake of those who you don't even like?
It becomes a choice, and God has to give us the power to make that choice. We can't do that on our own without the power of the Spirit.
Amen.
We're too selfish in our own nature without God's power to love in that way.
And the choice has to also become intentional.
Mm-hmm.
You have to intend to do it, not say we're going to do it and wonder why we haven't done it.
Exactly. Yeah. So how do we think we do that?
Well, then I was going to say that, of course, God being love, love covers a multitude of faults. And I'm sure you've probably mentioned that before, that I mean, you love someone, it doesn't matter what those faults are or whatever's going on.
So it's really interesting to me, because when you think of church, what is one of the things that kind of jumps out in your mind? People. Okay, what else?
The body of Christ.
What else? Come on, church. When I'm saying this, I'm thinking
congregation.
Congregation. Yep. How many people are there? Attendance.
Food.
Food. Oh yeah, food. Potlucks.
Group worship.
What's that? Worship.
Yes.
Yep. What else?
God.
Fellowship, yep. What else?
Bible teaching,
yep. Great preaching. How many of us desire to have great preaching in our churches? What else? Anybody else?
I have to say, just sharing our love with one another. Ooh, yeah. Because we're all part of one family within our church.
Yeah. See, the reason I ask this question, and Elmer's trying to jump ahead on me here, but I ask this question because when we think about church, now, I'm a pastor, so I've sat in what we call a candidating process, where I sit in a room and I get interviewed to become a pastor, which in itself is a very strange thing, because I don't know if Paul interviewed anybody. He listened to the Spirit and then he did it, but I understand why we do it. Don't get me wrong. But when we sit down and do that candidating process, we talk about vision. We talk about preaching. You know, they listen to some sermons that I gave and they go, oh, you're a pretty good preacher. then they asked me some questions about, you know, what do I believe about the gift of tongues, and what do I believe about women in ministry, and what do I believe about this and about that. And then we talk about my degrees. We say, well, what degrees do you have, and where have you been to school? Tell us a little bit about the Greek and the Hebrew, and what do you think about children's programming, and what do you think about outreach, and what do you think about discipleship and teens, and what do you think about all worship and styles of worship and all this kind of stuff?
Music,
yep, exactly. Oh, music is big. It's one of the number one things that makes people mad and angry at church. Play a new song and you find out who's who in church right away. But here's what I'm saying. It's this. Is when we think about it, we make a list about what we think is most important in our church, the word love is rarely on that list. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, good preaching has an element of love to it.
Amen.
Because it should lead us to love more deeply. Somebody told me once very wisely that all good preaching delivers somebody into the loving hands of Christ. Now, outreach, when done rightly, should exude love. When we do all those things, there should be an element of love in there. But when I think about being interviewed for a church, nobody ever said, tell us about how you love people. Hmm. What does it mean to love difficult people? By the way, the church is full of some of the most difficult people in the world. Can we all get an amen right now? Yeah. Now we're cooking with fire. But see, it's so important because some of how we've defined what we do in church, we've defined everything except what is most important, because when Jesus said that the world will know that you are my disciples, did he mention preaching? Did he mention outreach? Did he mention children's ministry or programs? Did he mention the size of the church, the attendance, the vision? Did he mention any of those things?
No, he just said,
if we love one another.
If we love one another. Because that'll be the most blaringly crazy thing. Because let's just be honest, you can gather a crowd around hate. You can do that pretty quick. You can say, did you see what that guy just did, and demonize somebody or a group of people, and you can gather a crowd pretty quickly around hate. But when you see somebody doing the opposite, when you see somebody moving towards love, you are left scratching your head. You know, I remember, it's going to be a long time now. Was it 20 years ago or so? When that gentleman, and he broke into that Amish schoolhouse and he shot those Amish kids. And within hours of that happening, one of the Amish parents was on TV saying that he forgave that person. Not only that, but the Amish church went to that person's family and delivered meals. Because they did this loving thing. And I remember still to this day, and I was a younger person then, but I remember to this day, the newscaster, it was NBC or CBS or whatever it was, not understanding it. They were saying, we can't believe this. Yeah. We don't understand how this is. They forgave them. It was such a confounding thing because it reorders how we think the world works.
Amen. Yes.
And it reorders the world in the way that God says. In fact, God thinks that love is so important that he says that if you love me but you hate your brother, you're a liar. 1 John 4:19.
Yeah.
And he says if you come to worship and you got something against your brother, stop worshiping and go find him. Because God seems to think that the greatest expression of your worship, your love for him, is when you seek the kind of peace that Ephesians talks about between one another. That you are actually willing, like Christ, to knock down the dividing wall of hostility. Because you think that the power of peace and love is more important. Mm-hmm. And so I just wonder, yet again, what's love got to do with it? I think that Tina Turner was asking us a pretty powerful question. What's love got to do with it? What's a kind of person or we could even say group of people, though we don't want to demonize anybody, that you just really struggle to love or to even like?
I have to say, for one thing, for myself, when I meet someone, I think about wanting to like them, then I have to get to know who they are and find out who they are, because we all have things that people don't care for,
mm-hmm.
and we have things that people are that can enjoy. And I have to look for those enjoyment things to really like someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Elmer, he did it again. He always jumps ahead of me because he is on. He's always thinking. I love Elmer's heart. But I want to hear like some specific things, because what I really hope is that the people listening to the radio program will be like, yeah, me too. I don't like those people at all. I don't like people who are short-sighted. You know, who are bigots. I don't like that at all. I don't like people who are I struggle with people who are very selfish and self-centered. Any of those other types of groups you feel are just like tough to really navigate?
Someone that treats other people terribly unfairly. It can be an employment situation or a family situation that they really abuse the people around.
Mm-hmm.
That's very hard for me to love that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I think of me, and this is usually in retrospect, sometimes it's someone that ends up being like I am on the inside.
Mm.
And I think it's maybe the Holy Spirit working on me, realizing, yeah, hey, this guy kind of rubs you, or this gal rubs you wrong, because do you realize you're like that too?
Yeah.
You know?
Amen.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, a lot of times.
Well, I think that's why God gives us children, right? Because
yes.
I don't know how many times I've said to my wife about my son, I say, I hate when he does that. And my wife goes, I hate when you do it too. And
right.
I go, who invited you to the party?
Right.
But so let me ask this question, because we're talking about that now. How do you think we can better love those kinds of people? The ones that we have trouble navigating relationships with, the ones that we have trouble loving. How can we do it? And I think we already touched on just a little bit of it. Alaric said, strike up a conversation. And Elmer said, you know, probably something I think is super interesting is listen.
Yeah, I think great.
Grace, yeah.
Grace, give them grace, because if they're doing things, if they're saying things that's offending you, well, there should be some grace there, you know. Because what do you do to offend someone? Or,
yeah.
You know, what is that person thinking of you as well? So if someone can give someone else grace, how can you answer?
Yeah.
At that particular time.
I have to pray for the Holy Spirit to give me.
Yes, that's yeah, right. Absolutely.
To change my attitude. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, starting with you, and I love that you said that, because I have talked to folks where they say, well, you know what I do is I pray for the Holy Spirit to change that person. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, I said, maybe mm-hmm. the stumbling block in that situation is not the Holy, is not you, it's not them, it's you.
Start with me.
It start with you.
Yeah.
Because that's what we've been talking about, right? That we mm-hmm. tend to be the one who tends to be the stumbling block. The other thing I think is important is to listen, because we need to ask ourselves, why is this so difficult for me? What is happening here that I need to learn? I think we even touched on this, about myself and about the way I perceive the world and about the way I even perceive this person. And how about this? Maybe I need to listen, because what I've done is I've bought into a narrative of what that kind of person is like. And this person might not be that kind of person. This person might just be ill-informed, or they might be have bought into some, and let me listen. I really, one of the things I struggle with is that we tend to broad brush things, because we like to be able to put people into buckets. We like to be able to say, well, that's that kind of person there, and that's that person over there, and that's that group over there, and that's, and we touched upon this, I think, programs ago, where we said, when we drive down the street and we see all the different churches in Champaign, what do we say? We say, well, there's where the Catholics go, and there's where the Baptists go, and there's where the Methodists go. We define our idea of all of that based on what divides us, not what unites us. We rarely go, look, in that building is people who love Jesus. Now, we might not agree with them, but I guarantee you that in every single one of those places, there are people who love Jesus like crazy. And broad brushing people and situations and traditions or even organizations is really a dangerous thing, because we sell off the very people that we are called to love. And so I think that one of the most important things we can do is listen. If you read the Gospels, have you ever seen or caught on that Jesus spends way more time listening than he does talking?
Oh, yeah.
If you go through, I did this one time. Sometimes I'll buy a Bible and I'll get out a highlighter if I'm on a mission, and I'll just start trying to find the end of some thought I have. And so I bought a Bible. I went through and I began to highlight all the times that other people talked. I did it in pink so it stood out. And then I did all the times that Jesus was talking. And Jesus spends far more time in the Gospels listening than talking. In fact, the only substantive place we have Jesus really going on these long is when he's in the upper room, John 13 through 17, the prayer, the high priestly prayer, and then when he gives the Sermon on the Mount. Other than that, he spends a whole lot of time listening. And one of the things that I think that we're not always so good at when we love people is listening to them. We're very quick to, we listen to respond, but we don't listen to love. And so I wonder if we're willing to listen to love, because I think that in the listening, we're going to find the Holy Spirit telling us, did you just see that right there? That's a place where you can love them. Did you just see that right there? Sometimes when I find out that the thing about them that bothers me is actually something that God wants to use me to heal. Mm-hmm. You just never know. But how about this? Let's agree on this, because we're so short on time. We'll never know if we don't listen. And we'll never love if we don't listen first.
And doesn't it say to be slow to speak and quick to listen?
I think there's a reason for that. That's right. And once again, isn't it fascinating in the Gospels, God, incarnate in Jesus Christ, demonstrates what love looks like for us, that he spends more time listening than he does speaking.
Yeah, and you mentioned Pastor Jason, John chapter 13, and I had this open since the beginning, John 13:35. Speaking of listening, listen to these words of Jesus. Every person will know by this that you are my disciples, if you should have love one to another. If you love each other, everyone will know that you're mine. So we'll leave you with that today. Pastor Jason Schiffo and our studio audience, thank you for getting here and being here and all your input today. We so appreciate that. And hope you'll join us again. Mark should be back next Friday.
We might vote you in.
Okay,
all
right.
Mark's off the island. Everybody votes Tim in.
We need Mark. So, well, thank you for listening this morning or this evening if you're listening to the rebroadcast. And if you missed any part of it or want to hear it again, or maybe you want to email a link to a neighbor or a friend to listen to this discussion, go to greatnewsmedia.org, and click on the Mark and Friends tab, and the whole program will be right there for you.